Bob, the spiritualist has been in progress for a while now, right?
Yeah. As it seems with everything that I'm working on. But yeah, yes, it's been around for a while.
So what has changed from the last time that you had this ability to work with it, with real people?
We've done this a couple times in the festival, and it's the first time we've done it with one of my plays, but brought a play back that was worked on previously, because it just still had, it's still missing the bathroom. In my case, two bathrooms. So, I'm so tempted to go down. Talk about outhouses and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah. So that's basically it. Specifically, there is a major character that I felt last year I didn't understand his motivation, and one of the two central relationships in the piece really hadn't been developed, and so I wanted to bring it back into this kind of high pressure is the wrong word, high octane environment to rework it with great people. It also involves music, and we're hoping to bring in music this time around, just sort of get a little taste of that element and see how it interacts with the text of the piece.
And this is about a woman who works at a school who says she can commune with dead composers.
Exactly.
Someone comes in to prove her wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Basically, Kyle Kellums comes in and starts interviewing her, and
he's a skeptic, right?
He's a skeptic. Yeah. And actually, it's actually based on this sort of fascinating true story of a woman who was a psychic who in London in the 60s and 70s who claimed or did channel the music of dead composers like Liszt, and she developed quite a following and was endorsed by some real heavy hitters.
Now, would she say that these were new compositions that they had composed from beyond?
Exactly.
Oh,
they
wow.
composed them up there, over there, wherever, and channeled them through her hands, and she would play them and then write them out. And they sound, that's the thing, they sound like they could have been written by Chopin or Beethoven. That fascinated me for a lot of reasons. My wife brought the story to my attention. My wife, who's an actress and a pianist, and said, here's a role that would limit my competition. I don't think she'd mind me saying that.
I'm going to ask the playwrights now. You're about to have these presented to an audience that is going to watch them for the first time. What do you hope comes out of this? Feedback, just exhaling that, okay, it's kind of made its next step. What do you hope on May 21st, when this is over, that has come from this? Or do you even think like that? Bob?
We have a... I say that about Fayetteville, but it's actually true for all new play development. People who come to watch a play that's being developed, that's in progress, love being in on that process. And so it's really great to not feel, it's not opening night. It's nothing like that. And it's really a pleasure to kind of share it with an audience. And then the feedback process is as much about feeling like, let's all acknowledge that this is a community effort here, that we need you, we need a sense of you being there as a witness to this, and we want you to kind of join in that process, as it is about, tell me how to fix my play, which is, it's not about that at all. I forgot what your question was.
What do you hope?
So I hope that process, that will happen, and that is going to happen. I of course hope that they will be moved where I'm moved, and that they will laugh where I think they should laugh. And when they don't, or if they don't, I will have learned something. But it's not about that ultimately.